This is Back to Life, County Wexford Stories of Derelict Homes, a new podcast series produced by Wexford County Council in conjunction with South East Radio. There are buildings all across County Wexford with stories still waiting to be told. Homes that were once full of life, now standing empty. Shop fronts with potential sitting idle above them. Farmhouses that have seen generations come and go. But in recent years, something has started to change. Across the county, people are taking on these properties, restoring them, reimagining them, and in many cases, completely transforming them. This is Back to Life, County Wexford Stories of Derelict Homes, a new podcast series from Wexford County Council. Over the last few episodes, we've heard some incredible stories from across County Wexford. We've met people who took on empty properties, buildings that had been forgotten, neglected, or left sitting unused. We've heard about the excitement of sharing a renovation project, but also the reality. Because bringing a derelict or vacant home back to life is rarely a straight road. There are decisions to make, unexpected problems to solve, rising costs, planning considerations, and plenty of moments where people wonder, what have I taken on? In this final episode of Back to Life, County Wexford Stories of Derelict Homes, we're looking at some of the biggest challenges people faced when taking on these projects. We'll hear from the homeowners themselves about what they learned along the way, and we'll hear from the experts at Wexford County Council about the supports available, the process involved, and what people should know before they begin. One question that came up time and time again during this series was, what advice would you give to someone thinking about taking on a project like this? So we asked everyone we spoke to, from the people who brought these homes back into use to the professionals who supported these projects, and their answers might surprise you. Because while every property has its own challenges, the message was often the same. With the right planning, patience and support, a vacant building can become a home again.
My advice would be to, do not get scared when you see the paperwork. I think a lot of people wouldn't, there's more people than you think that wouldn't actually apply for the grant because it's
too much paperwork.
Mm. And the money is there to get. If you're doing this, take the money.
Yeah.
I'm stumbling now, but
it's just they're there to help you.
At the start, people were they're just doing it because they got the grant or whatever, and I'm we are doing it because the grant is there, but we're spending an awful lot more to avail of this grant, so take it. It's worth it. It's totally worth it. And if you just keep your head down for a couple of months and get that paperwork in, do it, basically.
Yeah.
Because we got advice from Dom, I think people should speak to someone else that's been through the process. Yeah. Of it.
And you had the meeting with Tom Bates that time.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was an information morning in the county council, and I went to it. I saw it on Facebook, and it was happening within 10 minutes of the time, and I just ran over, and I didn't have a full-on conversation because people were taking, some of the officers were chatting to other people, and I didn't have a whole lot of time, but any information evenings or mornings, go to them because it's really informative as well.
Yeah.
We have printed off Excel sheets to kind of manually put them in. So that's what we were doing at the minute, and they're accepting that.
Okay.
We're just not computer savvy in with that Excel spreadsheet, and they just want a breakdown of costs to match our invoices and things like that. So
Accept the paper.
Yeah,
that's really handy.
Yeah, I asked the question because I just said, look, I'll just be honest, this isn't my thing.
Yeah.
So he was fine with that.
The one big thing to take from it is anything you spend, just keep the receipt.
Really, if you can have them on a file on your computer, because realistically it was easier to email the receipts rather than we physically have receipts, but you kind of do have to email them in.
I would say do your research, because it does seem to vary from county council because of the Facebook groups.
Yeah.
I have seen people that have spent money, say, on a kitchen, and they bought it off, they bought it in, say, Facebook Marketplace, and they've said they've submitted their, say, a bank statement of the payment they gave the person, and they've submitted the ad for the kitchen or whatever they bought, and then the county council said that they accepted it, whereas other county councils don't accept that.
Yeah, they don't accept because they want a tax clearance cert.
It does vary. Which is kind of unusual, really. Yeah. You think it's just kind of more uniform throughout the whole country, but I'm not sure what the reason for it is, but yeah, it's definitely something that you kind of should look into. If you are kind of buying secondhand stuff, definitely check with your county council first before you make that decision.
Especially if it's a big one.
My advice would be just keep that end result in your head. And obviously we're human. Everyone, you're going to get down and tired. But luckily, when you're down, I'm up. When I'm down, he's up. So
balance each other.
It balances, yeah. But there was one day we were both down. We had water.
So for me, I would hold off applying for the grants until you had all your ducks in a row.
Yeah.
Your builder was banging on your door ready to start, because the time limit is so tight for a level of renovation that we're doing.
So true.
It's nearly impossible. The problem we had was we needed a grant approval before we could sell. Shawnee called for construction lads down the road to come in and do the steel, you know, take first floor out and do the steel work. We had to do that first, and got in Tom. Tom was very fast. He came down, he saw the house, he gave us the grant. It took us about 3-4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And in that 4 weeks, we lost the window with Shawnee Colfer. Shawnee Colfer was gone until January.
End of January.
So Tom viewed the house in
September.
Mm-hmm. We got the thumbs up in September, but we didn't start until
February.
We started when Shawnee Colfer came in and started. And that gap of nothing happening was just time
ticking away on the grants
timeline.
Mm.
So don't apply for the grant until you're ready to go, because the time will just fly by.
It's a big undertaking. I was fortunate enough, as I've said a couple of times, that I had sourced good suppliers that I had worked with before, and I was prepared to throw all my time into it. That's key. The other key thing really is trying to get that finance sorted. If you have a budget of, say, for example, 150,000, add another 20% to it, because you're going to come up against snags in an old house. Mm-hmm. The house is approaching 100 years of age. So you're going to come up against other problems as you go down the project. So don't underestimate the project. It's huge fun. It's huge fun. And I suppose, look, I get great pride in restoring what was my home place on occasions. As a couple of people have said, look, it's fantastic. It's great to see the house restored. And obviously that's a little buzz. But look, it can pay for itself also. There's a financial return on it. And as we know where the property market is at the moment, obviously a property is worth substantially more done up. And obviously from a rental perspective, I have 4 kids. So down the line, it's a great opportunity for one of the kids.
Get a good architect on board and get an architect who either has a fire officer and a disability officer working with them, or that they're comfortable working with on a regular basis. There is no point in getting an architect to design a layout and that everything can look really well on a floor plan, but then it doesn't meet fire regulations and disability regulations. On this project, I used Man Fox, and between the architect and design side, and then they have an in-house disability and fire consultant, Kevin Turrell, who was able to, rather than having to go to the architect, then to fire, then to disability, and back again, and all delays and time wasting. If you can get it all under one roof, or one group that are used to working together, people think that it's only a matter of getting planning. But there's no point in getting planning if you don't have fire cert and a disability cert. You have to have all three.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have all three, you can't start the project.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no point in getting planning for something and then you realise, oh, it doesn't meet disability guidelines, I'm going to have to change the planning. So you're putting yourself back. So tie all those people, those professionals together from the start. And if you do that, it'll save you a lot of time and bother and money in the long run. Because if I'd have went without the fire and disability consultant, I'd have ended up doing a lot of the work twice. Simple things like that doorway there had to be moved in a metre so that the distance to the next doorway was within fire and disability regulations. When you're not having to build a structure that you're saving a certain amount, but like the cost of retrofitting is high. You know, we went probably 15% over budget, and I thought I had been generous with my budget. Now, I did put a very high-end finish on it, and I went with triple glazing, I went with good quality furniture, I went with good quality kitchen and bedroom fittings. Like, I used hotel quality beds. You know, all the little things, I like the lighting, the fire regulations, even the fact that we put a really good TV system throughout the whole building. We put a good Wi-Fi system. So any tenant comes in, their TV is included, their Wi-Fi is included. And there was no real way of saving on it. Once we got started, and we had such, the building itself was structurally so good, you couldn't put little dingy flats in it.
You know,
it wasn't an option for me.
So that was the homeowners. Now let's turn our attention to the experts from Wexford County Council and hear what advice they would have.
Yeah, unfortunately, there isn't a one-stop shop here for this, and there probably will be at some stage, because you know, it is difficult. There are different sites you can go to. You can go to the Wexford County Council's website, and you can find out about vacant property refurbishment grants. You can go on to Sustainable Energy Ireland and talk about energy grants. Unfortunately, there is no kind of one-stop shop. There is a bit of research that you, as somebody, has to do, I suppose, to find out all of the information. But if I was to say one piece of advice, if you're looking at bringing a vacant or derelict property back into use, the first place you should go to, I think, is the regeneration unit at Wexford County Council. They have all the information that's available there for the grants that they manage. And they can also point you in the direction of where you need to go then for maybe any other grants that might be available to you. So first port of call, I would say, would be Wexford County Council regeneration unit. If there's a planning issue, a potential planning issue, talk to the planning section of Wexford County Council. Obviously, if you're looking at doing something more substantial, then talking to an architect about what you want to do would be a good starting point, because they would know, again, all of the grants that are available. And they'd also know in terms of what's possible, what you can do and you can't do and so on. So they're always going to be a good starting point as well. Educate yourself, Google it and see what's available. Come in and talk to people in Wexford County Council, the regeneration unit, the planning section. There isn't a one-stop shop, I'm afraid. You do have to do a bit of research. You do have to do a bit of legwork, you know, talk to people. But don't be afraid to pick up the phone, send an email, get in touch with Wexford County Council and see what's available there. And I mean, we're trying to encourage as many people to avail of these grants. They're there at the moment. Get your application in, or make an inquiry, send an email, make a call, and that's your starting point.
Take your time. Don't rush into anything. These structures need very, very careful consideration. They need us to really step back and observe and read and try to put ourselves back where our ancestors were, you know, how they were designed, how they were used, because that's what they did. I think there was a lot more went into the design process and all of the considerations around light and use way back when than maybe we're inclined to rush into things a lot today. And then it's the gentle peeling back and seeing, you know, what really, really needs to be done. And we try to do as little as necessary, because that is the conservation-led approach. So minimum intervention and maximum retention. So we want to retain as much original and early building fabric as possible, and then only repair where and replace where necessary, where absolutely necessary. And that's not to prevent, as we spoke about earlier, you know, compromises to facilitate modern living. Like, that can certainly still be accommodated. But when you're looking at your kind of general structure and the fabric of that structure, it has to be a very, very careful and considered approach. And we really, really need to make sure we're using the right materials and the right techniques, because that saves issues down the line.
There's a really good manual called the Bringing Back Homes Manual, which would give them great ideas, and it's written very presentably. It was issued in, I think, 2017, 2018, and it hasn't had much criticism since. And you can look at that, and it's just, you know, simple, colourful pictures on what you can do with an old property. So if I had one, I'd open that manual. You can download it from the government website, PDF version, open it, you can see, okay, that's my building there, it's exactly the same. So, and then it just guides you through what you should do. So if I'm going to give a plug to anything, it would be the Bringing Back Homes Manual.
So we've heard the advice, now let's look at the challenges. What are the hurdles homeowners faced when restoring older homes, and what are the common misconceptions? We've already heard from the homeowners in previous episodes, so let's hear from the council's experts on the issues that they encounter on a weekly or sometimes daily basis.
I suppose there's a lot of people out there still that aren't aware that the grants actually exist. And I suppose the government probably could do a little bit more in promoting this grant as well. But that is one of the misconceptions, I suppose, is or that people really don't know about the grant. The other things are, I suppose, that people who do know about the grant haven't read into it enough before they actually make the application. So they might know the total amounts that they are that's available to them. They might be getting misinformation, say, on the likes of Facebook pages and that, where there is several pages set up now to do with these vacant property grants. And, of course, everyone has their say, but I think there's nothing like if you're applying for a grant in Wexford, you should come to the Vacant Homes Unit of Wexford County Council and get the information from there. It's the only place that you'll get the right information relevant to the grant that you're applying for. So again, people shouldn't be afraid about reaching out to us. I suppose also is people, I suppose, may think that they actually have to own the property before they make their application, whereas if they have a letter from a solicitor confirming that the property is actually being transferred into their name, that's enough for the application process. But they must have ownership before any money can be drawn down at the end. Some people do think that there is stage payments of the grant. Unfortunately, that's not the case as of yet. They were talking about maybe bringing those in, but at the minute, no grant money can be paid out until all the works are complete, so it's just a one payment. There is another couple of things as well, I suppose, in relation to the application form. If you took the likes of, say, a young couple who are after being renting and have now been able to get their mortgage to buy a property and have maybe gone sale agreed on a property that will qualify for the vacant homes grant. We don't expect people to be paying a mortgage and paying rent as well. So even it's called a vacant homes grant, but once that couple can prove to us that the property has been vacant for at least 2 years prior to their application, then we will allow those people to move into that property if they want to carry out the works around themselves while they're in the property. So some people think that they can't actually move into the property. But we will allow them move in once they provide us with proof of vacancy. And I suppose them are sort of the main things I have seen with people as regards the grant, you know.
Well, again, I have to give a big shout out to Andy because he did it right. He got a professional in from day one. And then you're not chasing your tail. You get your commencement notice in early. We can have our tit for tat early, and everybody's singing from the same hymn sheet, and there's no ramifications for not doing something. Like, obviously, fire safety certs are important. Doing things that are not going to cause you an issue down the line. So it's planning, getting the professionals in, and people think, oh my God, that's going to cost me so much money. But actually, it's going to save you so much money. And not only is it going to save you money, it's going to protect you from the long arm of the law, because it is the law to submit a commencement notice. And it's going to add value to your property because you'll be on the National Register of Commencement Notices with a cert of compliance on completion, and that will add much more value to your property than you will be spending on professional advice.
At the minute, with the climate we're in, one of the biggest challenges people have when they're completing an application form is actually getting quotations from a builder, because all builders are so busy. But we do have to have a quotation with the application for this grant. Now, we're only looking for one quotation for all the works, whereas some other grants may look for three quotations, but we only look for one quotation. Now, it's hard enough to get the one quotation, but just to let people know that that quotation must be detailed. We're getting quotes in for renovation works and a price at the end of it, so that wouldn't be good enough. We need to actually the quote broken down into the various different sections, and we'll find those sections on page 13 of the application form for the vacant property refurbishment grant. So I'd ask people to just go through that page 13 before they talk to their builder, and then get their builder then to draw up his quote according to page 13 with the detail on it. So that would have been one of the things, I suppose, challenges there that we find with people. Another, when people are into the work, is that the weather, like everything else. So at the start of the year, yeah, we had sort of severe weather, and there was no outside work at all able to be carried out. So if people find themselves in a situation where they have their 13 months for the vacant property refurbishment grant to carry out the works, if they find themselves in a situation for reason like severe weather that they're not able to complete the works, come back to us, and an extension can be given to that 13 months.
Does it depend, or like what's the long?
It'll depend. Okay. Each case differs. So what we would say to people is, if they're coming up to 12 months on their time frame, they should make contact with us. This should be by email if possible. Give us a list of the works that are completed. Give us a list of the works then that need to be completed. Give us a time frame, an estimated time frame that they think, a realistic time frame that they would need to have those works completed, and just outline the reasons then why they were held up as well. And we'd look at that favourably, like, you know, to give an extension, and we'd work it out between the applicants and ourselves as to how much of an extension they should be getting. Just for people to make sure that by the end of the refurbishment works, and this will be something which will help with any delay as regards payment, that the property must be in their name, must have been transferred within that time frame. I know with probate and everything else, things can take a long time by getting the property into their name. So people must be aware of that at application time, that, you know, the property has to be registered in their name before a drawdown of the grant can take place.
And again, Bronagh, just to add, like, from our point of view in Wexford County Council, we want to give out the max number of grants at the max level. So, you know, it's a huge opportunity to invest and get investment in vacancy and dereliction in Wexford. So we're working with potential clients and people to maximise the grants out there and to encourage people to apply for them. And we'll work with you hand in hand to ensure that you get them.
Over the course of this series, we've heard stories from people who looked at buildings that many others have passed. Empty homes, forgotten spaces, properties that needed time, investment and a lot of determination. From New Ross to Feathertonsea, Wexford Town to rural Newbon, every project was different. Some involved major structural challenges, others required careful restoration and respect for the history of the building. But one thing stood out across every story that we heard. These projects are never just about renovating a building, they're about creating homes. They're about protecting the character of our towns and villages, and they're about giving properties that were once sitting empty a new purpose. We also heard that while the finished result can be incredibly rewarding, getting there takes planning, patience and perseverance. A huge thank you to everyone who opened their doors and shared their experiences. To the homeowners, the experts and the teams within Wexford County Council who support this work every day. Their stories show what can happen when people see potential where others might only see problems. For more information on the grants and supports available, including the vacant property refurbishment grant and other initiatives, visit www.wexfordcoco.ie.